You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada.
Today on CICK News, as the war in Palestine rages on, civilian casualties have topped 20,000 and there's no end in sight. Support for Palestinians has been mounting around the world and indeed here in Northwest BC. The Rustica Bakery near Smithers has connections around the world, and in 2020 they helped organize an effort to support bakers in Beirut after the harbor blast left much of the city in shambles and food was scarce. This past weekend, Meg Roberts, owner of Rustica Bakery, and others pulled together to bake up dozens of Mediterranean and Palestinian-style breads and treats, this time in support of civilians in Palestine, especially those in Gaza. We'll speak with Roberts about her new Peace Meal, that's P-E-A-C-E, meal projects, to help those in conflict zones and why she felt the need to speak out now. Also, when Peter Rebergen saw Rustica's Instagram post about the piecemeal projects, he felt he needed to pitch in. He spent time in Palestine in 1980 and still holds a very special connection to the place and the family that took him in. Stay with us.
Meg posted something. I have the words. They're in here. Okay. She posted something on social media. My wife saw it, and I said, oh, it's just... She gave me the words to write this poem, okay? And so the words in here come out of her quote from there, sort of. But and so then I sent it to her, and that's how we have connected now. So then I said, you know, I get what you're trying to do. You got all this anguish inside. And
yeah.
What can you do?
Yeah.
Right? So... Then I helped her with the baking yesterday. I said, you know, if I can help in any way, let me know.
Nice.
I'm Peter Rebergen. I'm from Smithers. I'm trying to make sense of what humanity is all about ever since I was a young person.
Yeah.
I wandered all over the place, in and out of universities. Formal studies weren't doing it for me. But when you start meeting real people in real situations, then things start to...
Yeah.
You start to make some sense. So my... Yeah. My life experiences keep getting broader and broader to the point where I can actually go, it's okay. That's why this picture means so much to me.
Yeah.
What the heck is a Canadian dude coming out of a white Christian background doing with a Muslim? But he put his arm around me. That picture speaks volumes to me.
Yeah, indeed.
I still get emotional.
So why did you feel the need to... do this today? So you guys have baked a lot of bread trying to raise money for farmers, and it sounds like, you know, what I've been hearing is kind of a scorched earth approach where they're salting agricultural land, they're raising, you know, fields to the ground, and so this is all in support of farmers in Palestine. So how does, you know, why did you feel you needed to do this?
Because I live in a very comfortable, safe environment, and these people don't. And how do you make that connection? That's Meg's anguish, right? It's, what can I do? I'm just a baker. What can I do? I'm just an old dude, man. It's like, okay, so these people are hungry. A little bit of money. She's got some baker connections in Lebanon and so forth. If we can help them when they're able to, maybe bread. It's bread, but bread is also a metaphor for me. It's bread of life. I mean, it's not just physical bread for physical needs. It's also, we're a starving people too, if you understand what I mean. We don't get this. We need to embrace people who can help us feel humanity. And so it's more than just a little bit of money for a little bit of bread. It's about help me to connect to the heart of humanity. You know, that's what it's really all about. Otherwise, these wars will never cease. Never. If we don't start connecting. So put aside all those differences. And
my brother.
That's why I chose these pictures, because it's awesome. So, I mean, I traveled throughout. I went all over the place in my 6 months, but it was a real struggle for me because I felt too that the other side, so to speak, of Chris's arm on, get out of here. And they justify that with all kinds of religious things and so forth. But how these people can say it's Allah's will. And I'm going, no, man, what kind of a God is that? But they're very accepting people. And it just blows me away. Like, we're always insisting on rights and everything like that. And these people are just... But they have something that we don't have. I mean, they got hell on earth right now. It's awful. But they have something that many of us don't have. And that is a sense of, well, you don't need the world's goods. You just need, can I say, love, which is a... doesn't mean much today, but it's basically
some people
you need to connect.
Peter, you know, this is just the next iteration of what has been going on in this conflict for centuries. You know, the last one was, you know, about 10, 15 years ago.
2003,
right? And that was pretty brutal as well. But this has especially been brutal. So why now? Why do you feel like things have changed and we're seeing, like, clearly this outpouring of support?
Yeah.
We've seen these conflicts before, but, you know, I've never seen something like this before in support of, you know, this global support of Palestine.
Yes and no. There are some, South Africa, there are folks who have a bit of a heart connection, and we try to say, okay, you know, let's put the guns down and let's just try to live together. But there are very sincere Israelis, too, who have tried this, you know. Not every Palestinian Muslim Arab is a Hamas type.
Yeah.
I mean, that there's something about that response that I understand, right?
Yeah.
Just like you pick up a stone and you throw it because they just killed your brothers. So, but then you're going to get thrown in jail or shot because you threw a stone.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, yeah, but it's not about stone throwing. It's about you're not getting it. Why are you doing this to my family, you know? And I need your attention in a sense. So I throw a rock because I'm hurting, I'm frustrated, and I need... So if you burn tires and throw rocks, maybe someone from the media will tell the rest of the world that we have a problem here. But it's not because I hate you or I want to... It's just... Can we find a way of connecting?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, what Hamas did was horrendous. I mean, that's horrible.
Yeah.
But can we try to figure out what 70-something years of occupation? I've had Israeli guns pointing at me. I've been called in. It's not nice when you're... So what are you doing here?
Yeah.
You know? I've been at the checkpoints where I have to... going. All that does is just, I feel for, it just makes a connection for me, that's all.
Peter, it looks like, you know, this situation isn't going to be remedied anytime soon. The numbers of Palestinians killed is continuing to mount in the over 20,000 now. But this looks like pretty amazing. Little old Smithers, and, you know, there's already, it looks like, 30 people have come through here. What's your hope for this, you know, event, and where is the money going to go to support?
It's all about baking. It's a baking connection, you know, and bread. Bread is just very life-sustaining, so it's not just, like I said, the physical thing. It's also, like, can we start connecting via bread?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a starting point, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know what your religious tradition is, but... You know, that was the opening line of this prayer. I mean, how often haven't we prayed that Lord's Prayer, give us today our daily bread? And I'm thinking, well, that's pretty selfish if you're just thinking about give me, everything. But it means something else when bread starts to become, can we sit down and break bread together?
Yeah.
Like, that's what this coffee shop experience is about. It isn't just quick grab something, throw some money on the table and get out the door. It's, can you take a moment and talk to these people, you know, ask them why they're here? And make that connection via bread.
Yeah.
Bread brought us together, you know? And if we actually have a minute to sit down and eat it like these folks are doing, now that's what it's all about. I don't know these people, but I'd like to get to know them. And that's the same here. That's what I'm... These folks said, sit down, Boutros. I'm thinking, yeah, I broke bread with these people, but because they're Islamic people, the women can't have and be in the same room as the males, right? So I said to Ahmad, I said, well, I feel really uncomfortable because you invite me over, and I can have friend with your male friends, you know, a cup of tea on the floor here. But then your sisters and your mom have to get out, and they only got this one room. Where are they going to go? He came back the next day and said, we solved the problem. We're going to adopt you. So they adopted me, and my Arabic name is Butros, and that's why I can actually be with the family, okay, in their box. It's that's 40 something years ago, and I am still very, very connected to that experience. I had a good chat with Meg yesterday as we were baking bread together. And Finn, my daughter, university student, you know, and I'm thinking, yeah, you're starting out where I was 45, 50 years ago. You know, you got some questions, you're trying to figure things out. Yeah. Sitting in a classroom, studying books doesn't do it. 99% of that just didn't work for me. It's not until you sit down with people. So as a teacher, it's always like, it's the real life hands-on experiences, man, that are going to count. Come with me, let's go. Whether you're in the outdoors, outdoor ed teacher too, eh? You got to get out there, man. You can't just look at pictures. You got to sit down with people.
You got to feel it.
Yeah, you got to feel it. You got to feel it. Yeah. You know, I'll never forget. That's how we slept at night, because there was no room in the box for all of us. So we slept on the outside. They had two chickens as their prized possession. Two chickens. These kids just, they love their chickens. They had sleep in the, there's no roof here. Just outside on a mat, and I mean, and when I was there, there were some Zionists tried to assassinate the mayors in the West Bank. A bunch of the mayors put car bombs in their cars, and this is Nablus, where this camp is, camp number one. And I was in the camp with these people, sleeping here with Ahmad, and in the night, the soldiers came into the camp. And Ahmad grabs a corn broom that was in the corner there, runs to the little door, and says, if they come in here, they're not getting my brothers. I'm not going to let them get my brothers. And those are his brothers, eh? Some of these pictures. And I'm going, dude, you got a corn broom. They got machine guns. And I'm in here too. But the thing is, they blew up the car of the mayor of Nablus. He lost his legs, but he lived. The Palestinians, we'll call them, refugee. They throw a few stones. The Israelis don't like that, right, the soldiers. So what they typically do, Ahmad explained to me, they just come into the camps and they grab any young kid they can see, boys, throw them in jail. Read about it in the news. It happens all the time, you know, today. They don't even get charged with anything. It's just, we just need to intimidate. We need to tell you, if you throw a stone, we're going to come into the camps, grab some of your boys, right? And Matt's brother was still in jail when I was there. Same thing. Just, yeah, you're not allowed to. Freedom of speech?
Yeah.
You can't express anything. But you can shoot the mayor. You can kill all the people there. That's all right. But don't talk about it. And it was at that point I got hauled in the next day. What the heck are you doing in here? You shouldn't be in the camp. You saw me. It's not a nice experience. Yeah, I haven't touched that stuff in years, and all of a sudden, here it is. Yeah. It's very real again.
That was Peter Rehbergen speaking about his time spent in Gaza, Palestine, in 1980. Coming up next, my conversation with Meg Roberts of the Rustica Bakery.
My name is Meg Roberts.
And Meg, you guys are selling a bunch of lovely breads, Middle Eastern, Palestinian-style breads here today at Stellar J's. Tell me what's going on.
So we're just doing a fundraiser for raising funds for civilians in Palestine, or Gaza in particular. I have a connection to a bakery and mill in Jordan that is run by two Jordanians and a Palestinian man from Gaza. And so we're going to be sending funds. All 100% of our take is going to that particular bakery that once money or food can get into Gaza, they will directly take whatever into Gaza. Or if it's a refugee situation, they will feed any refugees in their area that come out to Jordan.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You know, we're a world away from this, but clearly, you know, in speaking with Peter earlier, this is touching a lot of people. And, you know, at a time like this, you know, most people struggle. Like, what can they do? You've done something here. How did this come about?
Well, I think it's about civilians, and I'm very anti-war. So anywhere in the world where there are civilians being greatly affected, and in this particular conflict, I feel the civilians of Palestine are being incredibly impacted. So, I think bakers around the world like to help each other. And so knowing that in the Fertile Crescent, which is in Gaza, there is no bakery running, it is a call to bakers around the world to muster up, yeah, make bread, break bread. Bread is essential to life, yeah, of any food. So I think particularly for bakers, when they see other bakeries not working, it's a real heart wrench.
Yeah. Yeah. Previously, we've spoken about this before, mm-hmm, you know, one of these Alan Scott stone ovens, yeah, usually the theory is about 300 people, it can serve 300 people.
Yeah.
You know, in our town, we should have like 5 or 10 of these.
Yes.
But in Palestine, in Gaza, there's over 2 million people in a very tight spot.
Yes.
So there should be thousands of these, yes, bakeries. Now that it's been going on for, you know, over 2 months, the war, we've seen massive destruction. There clearly isn't a whole lot of food provisions coming in. How did this connection with the Jordanians come to be? And how is this going to play out? Like, once they are able to get in there, like, how does this work? How does the money get to these Jordanian bakers, and how does it get to people on the ground?
Okay, so I have a connection, beautiful connection, with another baker in Beirut that we've helped raise money for, who had a social enterprise bakery for Syrian refugees.
This is previously.
So when the conflict happened, I contacted my friend in Beirut, and he was able to guide me. He's a baker and a miller, and he is connected to this other bakery in Jordan. So he put me onto them. We have a three-way discussion, but the bakery in Beirut is hopefully going to do a fundraiser too. They have far less funds available. So between the three of us, we will raise money. So the Jordanian bakery, one of the bakers there is a Palestinian, and his family is in Gaza, and he's a food activist. So he is weaving his way, trying to find threads of getting directly to people. Now, you can certainly donate money to other entities. I think as a baker, I want my money directly to go to a bakery, because given Middle Eastern food is so much based around bread and the breaking of bread, it's very, very important. So, I mean, right now in Gaza, people are so incredibly desperate but creative around food and around baking. They are making makeshift ovens to bake pita bread or tabbouleh, any sort of different kinds of breads that they can possibly make. So, yeah, I think as long as we give this money to a bakery specifically that is connected to Palestine, then it will get there. We are going to withhold the funds until either the borders open up, as my friend in Beirut had mentioned, there is no money and no food getting into Gaza right now. So we will be holding this money until the Jordanian bakery says we're good to go, and then we will transfer it across to them. So, and yeah, we're doing 100% of, I don't want to make any money off this. This is about giving and feeding.
Maybe tell me quickly, you have some very lovely loaves and all kinds of yummy eateries here. Tell me kind of what you made and what influenced this. Like, where did you come up with this kind of menu?
Oh, well, we're actually based it out of one particular book. Well, it's three different books, but one particular book, which is a Palestinian cookbook. And so it was fabulous. And the amazing part was the book is Palestine, and it is a beautiful, beautiful cookbook. But I could get all the ingredients apart from two different herb spices in Smithers. It took a little bit of shopping, but we have some beautiful food here. So very much traditional Palestinian food. We used a couple of other cookbooks, one from Morocco and one from Turkey, and all the food was based traditionally out of the Middle East. So it was a really lovely adventure for me. I love food. I love how food is culturally significant, the spices, the techniques. So it was a really beautiful thing for me as a baker to experience. Yeah. Yeah.
Just the last thing for you, Meg. You know, this has been over 2 months now that we've seen this ongoing. There's over 20,000 civilians that have been killed. About 50% of those are children. And it doesn't look like this is going to stop anytime soon. There are obviously efforts ongoing, but from your end of things and providing this sort of support, because it has been a bustling morning here, it's only been a couple hours, where do you go from here with your support and knowing that there's people like Peter in town who do have like a personal connection to this? So where do we go from here?
Well, I think we be vocal. I think the thing about any kind of war, and particularly this one, don't be shy. Speak out. I think we will only get a ceasefire. I personally think there needs to be a permanent ceasefire for all both sides and for all civilians to be free. So I think we get vocal, we get loud. You write to your politician. You also donate to wherever you can donate. I can provide a list of different entities that people can donate to that the money will get there, bigger entities. But as I say right now, not much is getting in. So I think we start the conversation. We break bread together. I think we actually break bread and talk about it and express our feelings. I think this particular conflict has been very difficult for people to talk about. For me, it's not about sides. It's about no war. I don't want war. I don't want children to be harmed. Mothers, I don't want fathers. So I think it's about humanity. Really, the basis of humanity is to care for each other and to make sure we're all fed, we're all housed, we're all safe. And that's really what I'm interested in. So I think people talk about it. Don't be afraid to talk about it. Take the fear part out. It's not about sides. It's about humanity for me, from my perspective. I have no religious background, so I feel I'm not coming at it from either side. It's about humanity and about civilians. The innocent who are in the crossfire.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.